Well, good evening, everybody. Monday, October 25th, 2021. It's 8:30 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. This is the Fakeologist Show with your host, the Fakeologist Averato. I've been here since April 2012 or so when I first launched this broadcast talking about 9/11 and other PSYOP hoaxes. And now, of course, we're talking all the time about the COVID cult, the COVIDian takeover of the world. Their technocratic coup is going on everywhere in the world. No one can escape it. And this is mainly because of technology has come to the point where these evil little black monoliths that we all bend our necks over to look at all day long. By the way, the number of back problems are probably at all-time highs with people slumped over looking at their information devices. It's everywhere. It's no nation anywhere is immune. Anyway, we're broadcasting live at fakeologist.com/live. You'll see the show schedule is over there and all the places that you can get us are over there, including YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, DLive, Fakotube.com. Fakotube.com is my website. It's my video platform. I can stream live there and do stream live there. It has a chat. Make sure you go into the chat because there are clickable links in that chat, unlike all many of the other services. And I see, I think this is accurate. I think Steve83 and Lost Spider Phallus, or LSP, is in the FakoTube chat. Hello, guys. Everyone likes a shout-out, so there's a shout-out to yous. And looks like there's only one person. No, four people on YouTube right now. Tominoid, hey-ya. Hey-ya, 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 hey-ya. And what else is going on? I had a nice chat with Bing, Mr. Bing, on the way home on the Discord server. Make sure you join the Discord server. I'm going to put myself in the intake room right now. Did you hear the noise? I didn't either. Oh, here we go. I'm now, that noise says I'm in the Discord server. Anyone who wants to come by, and I will verify you. And I believe Mr. Jerry McGuire, not Jerry, Jerry somebody, came by to the Discord yesterday. And I missed out. Missed him. But if he comes back tonight, I will verify him and talk to him. So I'm going to make a habit of that. Try and make a habit of that if I don't have a guest. Fake11.com/Discord. That's where you go if you want to join in now. You can also call. We have a phone number, and you can even call after hours, leave a message, or you might get me, 810-666-1984 and 902-400-1984. You can talk to me about just about anything, and I record it, and the lovely Eva from Florida called me today, and we talked about Israel. She went over there. She told us about her experience. I recorded it, and it is now a Fakeologist audio chat. It should, I don't know if it should be an audio chat or it should be just an FAK in the series, but you can see here, FAC974, Eva, Tales from Israel, and you can play it. You can download it. You can subscribe to the audio chat. You can do all of that. Make sure you do. And what else? I talked to Bing. Bing, great donor of the site. As you can see, when you go to the donors page here, I list all the donors. Thank you to the monthly donors. I don't know if this list is totally accurate, by the way. I don't go through it all the time. I don't update it every month, so some people may have fallen off. But I'll just quickly go through it now. It's okay. There's going to be a new video on the site. This is last year's video. We're going to update this now with some nice colors and music. But thank you to the monthly donors, John R., Strapman, John LeBon, Waterman Chris, Go Find the Others, IPS, Rod Jenkinson, O'Phallus, Lost Spider Phallus, two Phalluses in a row, Bing, Gary G., Jan Van G., Buck Cherry, DB User, Christian Lloyd Miller, Truth 34. I think a few of these guys dropped off. I have a number of ways to contribute, PayPal and DonorBox. By the way, if you like DonorBox, DonorBox is over here. If you like it, put it on your own site as well. And if you go to fakeologist.com/donate over here, there is the referral link here. So add DonorBox to your site here, and that'll give you 50 and me 50. But it's a pretty good site for taking in donations. So take a look at that. If you want to join in, you can call tonight. I don't have any guests tonight. I'm happy to talk to anybody and everybody. Dirty Benny, good evening. Stupid, hello. Tom Annoying, did I already say hi to you? LSP, hello. Okay, the whole gang. So this is a regular crew we got here, and you guys like to talk amongst yourselves. That's great. Thank you for joining. It's always exciting, and now you guys make me show up every night, which, you know, I'm not always in the mood. It's funny, in the day I'm more in the mood to have a show, but of course I can't because I'm mobile. And that's when I'm listening to all the different shows that I love so much. And boy, do I ever listen to a lot of stuff. Let me take a look at what I posted today. Let's go right to the blog. I don't think I posted anything on FakoTube today, did I? Oh, I did Vernon Coleman. And I also, yes, I did something from Restore the Faith. I love those guys. I'm not even a Catholic, but I like those guys a ton. Let me just play a bit of this. I don't even think I put this on FakoTube. So I'll play Restore the Faith. And in the meantime, I'm going to post their podcast. So here we go.
That's what the bananas are for.
I mean, here's the thing. We have supply chain issues. We have empty store shelves. We have people who can't buy food.
The reason I like these guys is they are completely aware of the Great Reset. You don't hear this talk at too many places. And they're mostly, I don't know if they're contagion myth people, but they're close to it. And I usually ignore the talk about the Catholic Church, but when it comes to conspiracy and the Great Reset, they got it nailed. Steve up here of Clown World, Census Fidelium, I post his Clown World video, vlog. It's really good.
We have people living in food deserts, and yet we can find 10,000 bananas for the great blessed Harambe. Harambe.
And for those guys about the supply chain, that's all planned. There's none of this is accidental. It's all part of you're watching the Great Reset play off right in front of your eyes. If you read any of these books that Schwab and or Weisler podcast and all that, even the airlines, you can look at the airline. They have on their YouTube channel probably about 6 months ago now. All the airlines got together and they did a whole shindig basically on Zoom or Skype talking about getting down to net zero. All this is planned. The self-destruction that they kind of have. It's like Corbett had his video of a series on how big oil conquered the world. And everyone goes after BP and the oil guys. They're supposed to be the bad guys. Yet, they're the ones pushing green energy. It's almost like this little plan. Hey, if you look bad, we'll make you guys rich and make you know, big time down the road. Even kind of what you're seeing with all these people going away, quitting wise, it's almost my idea, looking at all this stuff, playing right into their hands. Why I say that? Because what do they want? Kind of like down in Hawaii, if you saw the Spot, the robot that's being able to sniff off the Rona off you. That's, they want the robots, the technology to come out to basically take over your jobs so that you get universal basic income. Even the Holy Father has brought up universal basic income being on this. It's, like I said at the beginning, it's all tied in together. Hence that meeting that they have at the Vatican this weekend on this exact thing. Is technology moral? Is it good? It's a good, but you're looking at this thing as taking over literally your walk of life. So when, I don't know if we brought this up or I brought it up on Clown Planet, that next time that you have like a go through a TSA or maybe somebody goes through a border patrol, the human right now is empathy. Maybe they like the story, maybe they'll let you go, like, hey, slide, all right, yeah, go ahead and get through. Or remember that Dan Dix who went to the restaurant and the guy, the waiter was like, hey, I can't serve you unless you show me your pass. And he was like, I don't have one. He just faked showing him a pass on his phone. It was blank. And the waiter picked up on it, scanned it, did it to his wife, scanned it, didn't scan anything, but let him go through. You're going to have a robot do it that doesn't have empathy, and you won't be able to get into a grocery store, buy groceries, cross the border, do this, get gas, pay for anything. Mm-hmm. So they're going to eliminate the human aspect of all this. Again, we're looking at people that hate humans, by the way.
But Steve, you brought up the human aspect about all of this, and here's what you're
All right, that's a really important point. If this goes through, this is why you have to resist. See, when you deal with humans one-on-one, there's empathy, there's a relationship, even if it's very short. If the humans are replaced by robots, as in QR code scanners, if your scanner doesn't scan or if your QR code doesn't register, if the database goes down or the internet connection goes down, that door ain't opening. You got to find a human to get around that blockade. And a good example are parking booths. If you live in a city with parking, there used to be a parking attendant. And as a courier driver, I used to park in the parking lots for free, of course, because I wasn't parking. And I had to explain that to a parking booth attendant. Actually, I can remember many parking booth attendants because obviously many of them I visited all the time in my travels around Toronto. But now they're gone. There's just a gate with a card, and you get the card, and on the way out, you validate the card by paying for it with the credit card. There's no one to argue with. And, of course, sometimes people can't get out of the parking lot because their card doesn't read. Now, there's usually a button you can press for a humanoid to talk to and reason with, but overall, man, you can see how the problems are going to occur in the future. If you can't get your QR code going, you're going to be stuck because you're not going to be able to negotiate with a robot or a machine or a ticket taker. So it's already happening. This is a major part of the Great Reset. Because they're getting rid of people, they don't want them doing any job that can be automated. You're going to be dealing with machines all day long and interacting with QR codes. So you better get used to it. And that's a really great point that he made there. And great show. It's called the Restore the Faith. And I usually publish a link to that. It's once a week or so. I think they might drink during the show, so it really loosens them up. Mike seemed drunk this week. He's the host. He's up here in the top. It's kind of interesting, and I know that Ryan was sipping something. So the show gets looser as the show goes on. Interesting concept. I like it. Check it out. Let's go back to the blog. Now, apparently in Victoria, the state of Victoria, which has Dictator Dan, the more tyrannical state in Australia, they are passing a law making emergency legislation making the emergency-like powers permanent and basically denying Victorians access to their expected rights even after COVID is finished. So basically he said he wants to be able to enact emergency powers even if there's no COVID. Now, if this doesn't tip their hands as to what the end game really is, I don't know what does. Now, apparently, this cartoonist, Mr. Lunig, he made this cartoon, which obviously is a tank pointed at the average person, similar to the Tiananmen Square imagery from the 80s. Whether this actual picture or occurrence was real, I don't even know. But apparently this guy got laid off by his newspaper or fired. It's kind of amusing. This cancel culture got rid of this cartoonist for this quite innocuous cartoon. But I thought that was interesting. But apparently, I've read a little further. Victoria's just enacting all the emergency measures and making them permanent and synchronizing themselves with the other states in Australia. So this is them catching up to the other states. But still, if you don't understand that this vaccine passport has nothing to do with the vaccine, then you're really not understanding it at all. And I likened it to the Enabling Act of 1933 in Germany, which I put a link to here. The Enabling Act is a piece of legislation in which... An Enabling Act is a piece of legislation by which a legislative body grants an entity which depends on it the power to take certain actions. For example, enabling acts often establish government agencies to carry out specific government policies in a modern nation. The effects of enabling acts from different times and places vary widely. Well, obviously quite a few. Germany, United Kingdom, United States, Venezuela. This has been going on a long time. Even the Weimar Republic did it in between the two World Wars. The one that's famous is the Enabling Act of 1933. And you can click on that. It's got its own page. It was the law to remedy the distress of people and Reich. It was a law that gave the German cabinet, most importantly the Chancellor, the powers to make and enforce laws without the involvement of the Reichstag and with no need to consult with Weimar President Paul von Hindenburg. Critically, the Enabling Act allowed the Chancellor to bypass the system of checks and balances in the government, and these laws could explicitly violate individual rights prescribed in the Weimar Constitution. Sound familiar? It was passed on 23rd March 1933, enacted on that day, signed on that day, signed by Paul von Hindenburg, and commenced that day. That's a real fast one. That was a fast one. So very interesting. History doesn't repeat, it rhymes. And that's basically what I put there. Okay, so yeah, I didn't do much posting today. Yeah, there's last night's show. And here's the funny thing, as I like about you guys. There's 15 people watching last night's show. Right now. That's funny. That's almost more than are watching tonight's show. Here is, and I didn't go through posts from the weekend. I'm going to go through them real quick. Before Fraudsy was Jonas Salk. Remember Jonas Salk? I want to make sure I got the spelling of Thomas Malthus right. Yes, I did. Thomas Robert Malthus was an English cleric scholar and influential economist in the fields of political economy and demography. He wrote a book in 1798 called An Essay on the Principle of Population. Malthus observed that an increase in a nation's food production improved the well-being of the population, but the improvement was temporary because it led to population growth, which in turn restored the original per capita production level. And he was basically one of the first people to say that the rising population lowered the quality of life and therefore it had to be controlled. And of course, that led to Darwin. Then that led to the Huxley family who covered for Darwin. And then Jonas Salk and then Fraudsey. Take a little bit of this review that Amazing Polly posted, and she got it from Jade Dyer, who obviously you people probably know who that is.
This is actually dysgenics, and that's what we're going to see in this book.
Jonas Salk, inventor of the polio vaccine, was an advocate.
And that Salk has gone even further and revamped his theory to...
I guess I can't click. Can I not click on that?
Supposedly.
I mean, maybe I can't.
Salk has gone even further and revamped his theory to supposedly improve upon Darwinism. In other words, we're not just talking Darwinism anymore. He's arguing that survival of the fittest has now become survival of the wisest. And what that means is that the elite, basically embodied in, incarnated in the scientific class, they now function as the arbiters of Mother Nature. It's literally what he says in this book. And as a result, they're going to have to put into place structures, systems to decide who lives and who dies and who goes into the future and who doesn't go into the future. So that's what this book is another layer of the Darwinian cult of mass depopulation. That's why he begins the book by saying the big problem that we face is too many people. Man will have to regulate and take the place of Mother Nature, because Mother Nature, he argues, has natural functions of keeping balance and regulating population through disease and death, which he says are good. He says man's going to have to step up and take on that role and do the exact same thing. So here is your psychopath Darwin cult leader basically arguing not just that. Salk says that man is X-Men. You're all a bunch of mutants. And because you're mutants, because you're Toxic Avenger, there's nothing wrong with the scientific establishment mutating you secretly through RNA viruses. Yes, he says that. This is chapter 7. Mutations, the exact same thing that we saw with Kessler, mutating man. Well, here is Salk saying that we could do all kinds of things to produce advantageous and disadvantageous effects by mutating and testing on people through their RNA, DNA, and through the eggs of reproduction. The female egg can be experimented on, and we can even, he says, introduce mass diseases, mass cancer, perhaps through experimenting on reproductive functions in the body.
So there you go. Where have we heard that before? Now we're in it, in the middle of it. I don't know exactly what they're putting into the bodies, into these injections, but it can't be good. And these guys have been going at this for the last 100 to 300 years, for sure. So you can click the rest of that. That came from a Jay Dyer video. Why does the father of mass vaccinations, Jonas Salk, want to kill everyone? And I guess that's on Jay Dyer's site, on his YouTube. Let me just take a quick look. Because that's on FakoTube. I don't even know if I'm subscribed to Mr. Jay Dyer. Because I used to listen. I think he still has a feed. Let's just do a quick look at Jay. I find him interesting to an extent. So here he is there. Does a lot of work. Where are we here? Actually, I don't even see it on this. Do not even see. He's got so much stuff on here. Well, maybe he's published it somewhere else. Maybe he's on Rumble. Do not know. Does he even have his own website? Let's just take a quick peek. Jay Dyer. jaysanalysis.com. Let's take a peek at that. Leaked NATO document. Uh-oh. Now, where is that? Where does he have his videos hosted? Let's take a quick look. All right. Oh, it's on Rockfin. Interesting. So this is a Rockfin video. Anyone here on Rockfin? I'm not there.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're talking about the NATO psychological warfare document that has appeared online that a lot of people are making a big deal about. And it should be a big deal because it's, again, one of a long train of psychological warfare documents that explain and demonstrate exactly how the system at a high level works, right? And to really understand the overall Global Elite plan, there's no way to do it other than to going into these documents themselves, right? Other than going into the writings of the elite over the last 100, 200 years. And in this document, this white paper we have, not.
Well, that's 40 minutes. I'm not playing that, but, yeah, I like his stuff. I find that really interesting, trying to figure out what they are doing in society. And further to that, I want to draw your attention to a really good blogger called thebandhipster.home.blog. This guy is really smart, and he writes very well. And basically, he wrote a really good piece on atomizing society, going direct, things I've talked about. Basically, the Great Reset is about destroying the traditional institutions, school, healthcare, the banks, because now the elite can flatten the organization, the farm management system, and get rid of all these institutions, because now we have technology to go direct to the individual. And here's an example. He says, the use of the electronic mass media weapon was to break up social cells, not just the large institutions, which can be seen as, say, organs, but even individual structures such as the nuclear family. The point was to break down the population into individual units, literally individuals, and open direct communications between each individual and the central Borg. By the way, does anyone remember Borg? That was a game for the Apple computer in the 80s. I think it was called Borg. Anyway, think about it. You would be quite agitated if a strange adult lured your preteen daughter into a room and engaged with her personally without you there. Yet entire teams of adults are directly interacting with your daughter, her entire profile in the database. And the combined battalion really understands her more than she even understands herself. So this was a really, really good piece. Highly recommend subscribing to bandhipster.home.blog. He really lays it out quite well. I don't know who the guy is. He's sort of at a Miles Mathis level of intelligence. And just really, really good. Let me just do a like there. Who's this guy? Oh, Mu Yeo. He's on my, I think he is a member of Fakeologist. Another guy that likes this. Let's see if any commenters got the point. Not really. This guy, Band Hipster, he's looking for good commenters. He says he only wants certain people to comment on his blog. That's interesting. Let's go back to the blog now. Fakeologist.com/blog. Who are they? Okay, I'm a big fan also of Matthew Arrett. And part of Fakeology, of course, is to try and figure out who's running this place, since they do not want to be known or found out. Not Bill Gates. Not necessarily the Queen. The deep state is a tough nut to crack because they are well cloaked. But Matthew Arrett is very interesting, and this is a pretty good conversation he had.
Welcome to the Sean Morgan Report. I'm your host, Sean Morgan, and I have here my new friend, Matt Arrett. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
It's perfect.
Okay, great. Tell us a little bit about your background, and we'll get into this whole idea of the deep state versus the white hats, and globalism versus national sovereignty.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, my background doesn't really, as far as education is concerned, it doesn't have anything to do with anything that I find.
These guys do a lot of talk shows, and I'm always amazed by it. What they do so many talk shows. When do they research? Now, he did say, Matt said he wouldn't come on my show because he's too busy. And I guess now I see why. He's busy doing talk shows.
Banking? Or a sense of emitting long-term national credit through a Treasury Act of some form for the purpose of building large-scale infrastructure that would both create free enterprise on the one hand, while at the other hand, elevate people to higher standards of life and really, support the general welfare. And this is where we're talking here. We can go to Zachary Taylor, Harrison, 18.
That was very interesting. He says the same things many times. He said there were certain nationalistic leaders in the United States, including the presidents he just named, and they were using their own credit to rebuild their countries, to keep the money in the country. Even Kennedy, he said, was trying to do that with his greenback. Now, most people don't understand that, including me, and Matt Arrett does a really good job of explaining it. But, of course, now we have international bankers running all the countries, and they are not concern with your particular country as your own bank theoretically would be more concerned with your own country to the exclusion of the others. But the international bankers take a huge wide picture, and they are trying to manage the entire world. They don't care about your particular country. So that is really the big difference. The farther away the government is from the people, the less they care about your jurisdiction, which is a severe downfall of globalism.
40 who died after 3 months had a program to revive the Third National Hamiltonian Bank on his desk. Was part of the whole Lincoln John Quincy Adams network. He died. Then, 10 years later, you had Zachary Taylor die. Then you had Lincoln die. Then you had McKinley. But before McKinley, you had Garfield. Then after McKinley, you had 20. Some odd years later, you had 1923, Warren Harding, again, another Lincoln Republican who was fighting against this machine, very underrated, only in there for about 3 years. FDR died before he could complete his term in office, where he had a vision to break the British Empire, break up the controls of Wall Street, which he had done throughout the 1930s, and bring about development for everybody as a win-win system of global cooperation. He died April 12th before he could get really that international program online. And then obviously everyone knows JFK, and I would say I would throw his brother in, Bobby, who was going to become the presidential, the president, I mean, guaranteed in 1968. He had won the Democratic primaries. He was a shoo-in until, this thing eliminated him too. So all that to say, that's what got me into it. The Canadian Patriot magazine I started as a platform to disseminate a lot of this research, because I couldn't really find anyone who was courageous enough to publish it outside of that, so I had to create a platform. And more recently, I created the Rising Tide Foundation with my wife, Cynthia Chung, who's also a writer with me at Strategic Culture.
Well, that's good. Your introduction really got halfway into the conversation that I wanted to get into, which is to identify.
Smart guy, and he can talk without interruption for hours. He's very interesting to listen to. I'm just scrolling past the FAC 973, the JLB Exiles. I don't know if I got into that the other day. Maybe Sunday. Did I talk about it yesterday? I can't remember. But John LeBon, I had a bunch of his users, members on my site, including DB User, Mezzi, AP, George the Fifth, Maddie V, Kenner, Lewis. Wow. It was a huge show. Really good. Really take a listen to that if you want. Verbal Gambit came on. He has an interesting YouTube site. Oh, good. Didn't even work. They put a link to his site and it doesn't even work. That's not too good. The Verbal Gambit. Let me just punch it in here. The Verbal Gambit. I know he has a YouTube channel. but he doesn't have a website set up properly yet. Yeah, he's actually quite popular. Let's listen to his latest a bit. The case of middle class.
What is a middle class? A middle class is but a lie, a ruse for gullible and immature. The truth is that there are only two types, there are rich and there are poor. A division that can be seen in everything. Just look at this phrase. There is a distinction in letters, a division into upper and lower case. Uppercase letter is a shepherd, lowercase is a sheep and a herd. Uppercase are special, important, the capital. Lowercase are no name, they just call them small. One is a leader, a captain, the rest are just being coy. Capital created the term middle class as a simple decoy, and you don't have to be a genius to see through the ploy.
Capital are majuscule, as in magic, mage, magi. That sounds cool.
Small ones are minuscule, as in minus and mini, practically nothing cool. You might say,
oh, those are just names for terms, so it's not the same. Words and letters are not people, you're just being lame.
Well, we're all people, right? Same, same. A person is a person. A noun is a noun. However, there is a distinction into groups, and one noun is not another noun. They're called proper nouns for things carrying importance, and they're common nouns, entities of no significance, a bunch of lowercase persons. A symbol is a letter.
Well, that's kind of deep for me, but so, interesting. I think he was talking, he's right, Russian. Cool.
This is going to be a very short video. I just promised someone to upload.
Now, he's Russian, and he was also saying that he doesn't think Putin... He thinks Putin isn't real in the sense that he thinks there's been about 7 different Putins, which I thought was really interesting. Very interesting. And he thinks a lot of these presentations, these videos of them, are also CGI. Let's just listen a bit.
Clip of Putin with 3 fingers. So here it is. I'm going to go through.
He says Putin has 3 fingers here.
Yeah, let's check it out. So this is a video from 2 months ago. It was broadcasted in June.
And the audio is no good. Sorry about that.
And then I'm going to go frame by frame.
Yeah, it is funny. Right here, it looks like there's 3 fingers. Interesting. Did he get any traction?
Okay, so now I'm going to go frame by frame. I quickly showed it. I kind of sped it up because, he's just standing. It's better when you go frame by frame, so it just...
Let's see, 1454.
What the fuck is this? Oh my god. Look at this guy. Does this look real to you? What's up with his fucking neck?
Yeah, it could be.
I didn't even notice this. Well, impossible, because for this to... Like, you can just try... Like, you cannot do this. Like, if I try doing this, I cannot do it.
Okay, so that's George. Really interesting guy. Russian, Montreal guy. Take a listen to him. You might find him interesting to listen to. Let me just take a look and see what's going on in the chat tonight. Dirty Benny, hello. Let's see. Okay. You guys sometimes aren't always talking about what I'm talking about. Dirty Benny thinks Putin is controlled opposition. Well, yeah, I would say overall they're all working together, Dirty Benny, no doubt. Pepper, hello. Let's take a look at the FakoTube chat. Going back to fakeologist.com/blog. Yeah, AP was on this call with John LeBon and myself. And he's from the Northern Territories, Darwin. And he was saying that there are very large protests there. There's only 140,000 people in Darwin. And he said he estimates 4,000 people showed up to a protest, which is a pretty significant percentage. And he was also showing some of the news headlines, basically saying that the anti-vaxxers were organizing underground. They're using an encrypted app to fight the vax mandate. Pretty interesting. I guess they're talking about Telegram, probably. So take a look at that. Okay, this is something that is driving me crazy. As I've told you many times, this is another one of these stories, which is probably fake. It's really hard to get a handle on it, where the person gets really injured, almost dies, and at the end of the article, it always says, despite her harrowing side effects, Ms. Stewart continues to be an advocate for vaccination. Always, so I thought maybe we could put this as a hashtag, despite ... pro-vax. And we see so many of these stories in the media. We could even just do a quick search, actually. That might be worth looking at. Let's take a look at Google. Do a quick Google search. Despite, what was the wording? I said pro-vax. Despite advocate for vaccination. So let's look for those words and see how many stories are out there on the great Google. Okay. So is this the same story? Take a peek here. Yeah, this is the same one. So she's paralyzed. Despite all that, she's still for the vaccination. Insane. Makes no sense. Is it true? Well, she's an actress, so highly suspicious. Highly suspicious. So are there any more stories like this? Despite getting almost killed, she's for the vaccination. I tell you, I've never seen so many stories about vaccination ever. The entire media is just completely super soaked and flooded. I don't know how anyone can stand looking at all this. Even the research is too much. Look at everything. Tasmania, every place on earth is covered here. This is not a good search, apparently. Maybe you just type in pro. Advocate is too strong a word. It's not a word. It's not a word that is going to come up easily. Vaccine uproar is nothing new. Oh, here we go. Despite severe reaction, I remain pro-vaccine. Buffalo News. What's his reasoning? This guy went limp. All his limbs went limp. Then he got referred to a neurologist. Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS. It's one in a million flu vaccinations. Really? Medical science doesn't understand what exactly causes the nervous system to react so violently to flu shots. I don't think that's true. He envied those who could get the vaccine. Amazing. This is no time to whine about threats to our freedom. We're at war with a very lethal enemy that's not likely to go away soon. Oh, and despite having been that one in a million who contracted GBS, I still recommend getting the flu vaccine, as influenza has a much higher fatality rate. Wow, let's see if any of the comment people, they have anything to say that was critical of this dingbat. The Buffalo News. You are just lucky that you aren't one of the 24,000 plus that are considered permanently disabled, or the 9,000 plus that develop Bell's palsy after the COVID jab. This guy says the actual stats of dying or injury are 1 out of 4,000. The warning of Bell's palsy is fake news. Okay. Well, not much of a reaction there. What else we got? Most pregnant women have not. That's good news. Okay, so I'm not really finding anything there. Wait. I know this is bad radio tonight, guys. Let me see what else I got on the blog. Oh, this is interesting. Let's go to the January 6th riot. I call that a hybrid event psyop. Now, apparently this came out on the Daily Caller, which is a pretty good YouTube channel, which packages critically the mainstream news. I don't know who exactly is behind it, but here's something that I thought.
There's a concern that there were agents of the government or assets of the government present on January 5th and January 6th during the protests. And I've got some pictures that I want to show you, if the my staff could bring those to you.
In fact, tomorrow, I don't even like to say it because I'll be arrested.
Well, let's not say it.
We need to go. I'll say it.
All right.
We need to go in to the Capitol.
Let's go.
So I'm going to put it out there. I'm probably going to go to jail for it. Tomorrow.
But basically, this guy is out working the crowd to agitate. So it was a real event. There was really a march. We know people really went there, and they were going to be peaceful, and that was the story. And that occurred, I believe. But it does seem that there were agitators in the crowd that wanted to make it seem that it was a good idea to go break into the Capitol, even though it's a public place. And this is where the simulation part came into the whole thing. And this is the best video I could find. It's been out for quite a while. It's called Everything Wrong with the Capitol Shooting in 21 Minutes. And it shows how the scene within the Capitol building, that was probably filmed in advance. And it was portrayed as being, as occurring on January 6th. And that's where they brought in all the props, the actors, the shooting, the Ashley Babbitt actress. That's where the simulation part starts. So this is why it's really hard to say the event's fake, because so much of it was real, but the critical part where they say people were romping around the Capitol and in the chamber and the shooting, that was the acting part. That was the part that we didn't get to see. Now, did people probably get cajoled into going into the Capitol? Yes, but I don't think those people saw this scene because it didn't happen. I'm sure it happened and was filmed all beforehand. But I think people did get in the Capitol. I think mostly the agent provocateurs got in and maybe a few other real people. But I doubt they were witness to this. That's why I call this a hybrid event. Where there, in this case, tons of real people that were in Washington. But this critical part that they called the worst event since 9/11, that was the simulated part. And I'll play a bit on fake.
Read me.
It was really well done video.
There's some protests happening down outside the Capitol.
The simulated riots in D.C. was a powder keg long in the making. The evidence for pre-planning and setting up a situation for a disaster is overwhelming. Paid actors.
We should take that place.
Oh, there's that guy. Okay, same guy.
So I want to confess that I was paid to pretend to protest today.
Lady, I'm going to break your fucking phone if you don't stop.
They hit me with bullets.
Not officers, man.
Controllers.
There were guys, they were almost like monitors. They were like corralling them, and they were telling them what to do, and they did everything these guys said.
You can drop down into a room underneath more people.
Take a step back.
Get out.
And Hollywood tear gas and mace. All on display for hundreds of professional photographers conveniently on scene. In this episode, we're going to analyze the climax of the story and show you how a little stage direction and fake blood became an instrumental role in furthering the division of the nation.
And he was hiding there. She had no idea that he was even sitting there aiming a gun right at her face.
It's not talk anymore!
Anyway, very good video. I don't know who put it out. I don't know if it's an insider, but you got to watch it if you still are convinced that the January 6th event was real. This really spells it out. It was quite sophisticated, quite the operation. Definitely take a look at that. Definitely take a look at that. Now, here's more crap out of Australia, which is getting at the worst. It was Austria. Austria has some. Now, you get these stories of things these countries would like to do. And one of the problems with the internet or the availability of all this information is you are taking in information from every country of the world if you're studying this. And it can cause confusion for what actually is happening in your own jurisdiction. Now, in Austria, they're considering a COVID-19 lockdown that would restrict unvaccinated people as virus cases continue to rise. Chancellor Alexander Schallenberg announced the news late on Friday last week during a meeting where they would basically lock the unvaccinated in their houses. Or I'm guessing if you don't have a house or a place you can isolate in, then that's where the COVID camps come in. So it's that kind of rhetoric that you hear that you usually just project, oh, well, if it can happen in Austria, then it can happen wherever you live. That's one of the dangers of doing this kind of research worldwide. It can be disturbing, to say the least. All right, another blog that I absolutely recommend is called Green Crow as the Crow Flies.ca. She got booted off Blogger, and she went ahead and registered her own WordPress site and her own domain. And this is actually another Putin quote. And Green Crow was rather optimistic that Putin is one of the last good guys. Now, I don't think there are any good guys, but they do spin a dialectic out there. And basically, it seems like Putin and Russia aren't quite going along all the way in different ways to this, or they're calling it out. But on the other hand, I was reading that Moscow has faced recognition for their subway system. And it's all connected to the digital currency. I guess the currency of the transit system or debiting your account directly. So it's just like DeSantis in Florida, that he's bringing in the digital driver's license, yet he's supposed to be against the Vaxport. But I think that he's just going about this whole thing a little differently, where he's not going to bring in the Vaxport, but he is going to bring in digital ID. So you can see how they come from different directions, but they will probably all converge in the same area, digital ID, and then they'll start piling on all these other features of the passport. So that's why I'm not too confident about Putin and Russia or DeSantis in Florida, for sure. All right, scrolling down. Yeah, this is another report that makes me crazy. It's called the Absolute Zero Report. You must read the Absolute Zero Report. It was authored by Oxford University and Imperial College London, the former having invented the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine, and the latter being instrumental in providing flawed models that are used to justify draconian lockdowns in both the UK and USA. Because once you do, you'll realize that the past 16 months have been part of a much more sinister agenda that has only just begun. This is quite the report. We'll bring it up a bit. Basically, I've got to stop saying the word basically. What the report is saying is that to get to absolute zero emissions, you really have to get rid of humans. And that is the end game. That's where you see the Thomas Malthus, Darwinian, being paired up with the Big Pharma, Big Harma, to reach their goals. And these are the kind of reports, these climate change, anti-human, population reduction, human activity control people, this is what they thrive on. These are some of the working papers where they go through all the different industries. Cement sector. All existing forms of cement production are incompatible with zero emissions. However, there are some opportunities for expanded use of clay, an urgent need to develop alternative processes and materials. Using microwave processes to recycle used cement appears promising. Just amazing stuff. We currently have no non-emitting freight ships, so there is an urgent need for exploration of means to electrify ship power. I don't see how. Where do they think they're going to get the electricity from? The most efficient way to generate electricity is coal power plants. Nothing is more efficient than coal. Coal powder. And high quality coal. So they all seem to be pushing for electricity. And when it comes to aviation, there are no options for zero emission flights in the time available for action. So the industry faces a rapid contraction. Developments in electric flight may be relevant beyond 2050. Yeah, they don't want flying. And you're seeing that now. The only way they can stop you from flying is to make it virtually impossible to get on a plane, or make it so full of friction that people are going to think twice and three times. They are going to collapse and keep it collapsed, the aviation industry. Now, for dense countries, it might not be as big of a deal, like China and Japan, but when you're in a wide open country like Canada and the United States, the only practical, intelligent way to move around is by plane. And even planes take a long time to get around. It's such a big landmass. Driving is not possible when you're trying to traverse from city to city in North America. Flying is the way to go. And building trains and high-speed trains, it just doesn't work. It's just not dense enough. They keep doing it, though. They keep pouring money into it. But the only way they can make it work is to heavily subsidize it. And that's our money. So it's just not going to work, except in the densest places on Earth. So take a look. If you can stomach it, have a read on this. Reduce consumption of beef and lamb, as they have far higher emissions than any other common food. Aim to use less frozen and processed meals, as they dominate the energy use of food manufacturers. Wear warmer clothes in the winter. Again, Canada, Russia, we're very cold countries. The only way to stay warm is to burn fuel. Sorry. This doesn't work. This doesn't apply to all places on Earth. For traveling, here we go. There's the direct statement. Stop using airplanes. Take the train, not the car. Use all the seats in the car or get a smaller one. Lobby for more trains, no new roads, airport closure, and more renewable electricity. Yeah, so this is quite the psychological dream. Quite the psychopathic dream, actually. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. You can have a listen or read of that. All right, I'm not going to finish reading that. I think that Xyleflex, he had a read of that. He had some comments on that, so definitely take a read of the comments there. I linked to Clown Planet News on Rumble. That's Steve. What else did I got here? I think that's about it for now. I've done quite a bit of audio over the last few days. Been quite busy between this show and the audio chats. Here's TweetDeck, bringing up some of my Twitter feeds. Let's have a quick, I've done quite a bit of tweeting. What's the difference between a vaccine passport and a yellow star? 82 years. Oh, I found John Hinckley. I found David Cole. David Cole, he's the one that did the Auschwitz tour. And he's got a really good podcast, or he was on a good podcast. It's 3 hours long. I'm in the middle of listening to it. He's a bit of a Republican. And he's a Holocaust revisionist. Not in an extreme way by any means. If you just listen to him, it's pretty harmless, his views. He certainly doesn't deny the Holocaust. But he's one of those people as well that, like me, thinks nothing should be off limits for talking about. And I'm going to post... I might clip his three-hour audio because he goes into a lot of politics in the second hour, but the first hour is pretty interesting. He's just explaining his video production. And if you want to find it, I played a bit of it on the last Fakeologist show. Let me go quickly to savechat.fakeologist.com. Here's a post where someone was looking through the Pfizer second quarter results in 2021. And I got this off the, where did I get this from? Off the Kitten Corner on Substack. Gatito Bueno, Bad Catitude. Basically what he was saying was he found this line in the quarterly financial highlights that Pfizer sells one of the drugs, can't quite read it here, that ameliorates or is used for treatment for myo and pericarditis, which of course is the ailment that occurs quite often, more often than would be tolerable in a normal society, from taking the COVID vaccination. So not only do they sell you the cure, which is really the poison to make you more sick, they'll sell you the poison or cure to cure that poison. So they've got you covered. And they're making money. Banned tweet of the week. I took this off the No Agenda Show newsletter. This doc was saying my experience using ivermectin and fluvoxamine in 4,000 acute COVID-19 patients, 5 hospitalized, 0 dead, 4,000 recovered, 5 pharmacist threats, 1 medical board complaint, 1 lawyer retained, hundreds of medication transfers for pharmacist refusals. Amazing. And another interesting post from Amazing Polly from Neil Postman on technocracy. And everyone was really calling for this. All right. So there's some more stuff. Savechat.fakeologist.com. I'm going to play out the Remix Brothers. They do a really good, post, really good mashup of what's her name? Blah, blah, blah. Greta. I'll quickly look and see if there's any more comments on the chat. All right. Nothing much here. All right. I'm going to close out tonight. I'll be back tomorrow. Usually when I go solo, I only go for half an hour. I went overboard a little bit tonight. Hope it wasn't too boring, but I'll have more to report tomorrow on the David Cole interview. He's still going, and he's still pretty interesting. I'm going to see if I can get his views on COVID. Maybe I'll invite him over. And in the meantime, don't forget, I don't know if you're a listener. You send me an email, phone me, all that information at fakeologist.com/contact and fakeologist.com/donate. That lets me know that you're interested and you're listening. And I really appreciate all the donors. And don't forget to follow the show schedule at fakeologist.com/live. That's where my schedule is. Yeah, Pepper, I'll try and call, get Forrest on if I can. I find the guy fascinating. I like his theories. In the absence of any other theories, I still think that he's got a good one. All right, we'll listen to blah, blah, blah.
When I say climate change, what do you think of?
Blah, blah, blah.
There is no planet B.
There is no planet blah, 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 blah. We can no longer let the people in power decide, blah, blah, blah. Did you hear me? What do we want? Blah, blah, blah. But it starts with blah. When do we want it? Blah, blah, blah. This is all we hear. What do we want? Blah, blah, blah. What do you think of? They say blah. When do we want it? Blah, 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 blah. This is all we hear from our so-called leaders. Words that sound great, but just look at the numbers. We can no longer let the people in power decide. What do you think? It's not blah, blah, blah. Of course, we need constructive dialogue, but they now have 30 years of blah, blah, blah. They invite cherry-picked young people to meetings like this to pretend that they are listening. This is not about some expensive, politically correct green act. Blah, blah, blah. There is no plan B. There is no plan blah. No, that's better. Blah, blah, blah. You need economy. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Did you hear me? What do we want? Blah, blah, blah. But it starts with blah. When do we want it? Blah, blah, blah. This is all we hear. What do we want? Blah, blah, blah. What do you think of? They say blah. When do we want it? Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Fighting climate change, corporate innovation, cooperation. They say they want solutions. And they're not holding leaders accountable for their action, or rather inaction. Blah, blah. We need to walk the talk. Blah, 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 blah. If this is what they consider to be climate action, then we don't want it. Blah, blah, blah. What do we want? When do we want it? What do we want? When do we want it? Blah, blah, blah. There is no plan B. There is no plan blah. You know that's better. Blah, blah, blah. Need economy. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Did you hear me? What do we want? Blah, blah, blah. But it starts with blah. When do we want it? Blah, blah, blah. This is all we hear.
Now listen, if you have not subscribed to YouTube channel, do it right now. Do it today. And all you have to do is click the big red subscribe button on the YouTube channel. Woo!